Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome. This morning, I want to touch on something that you may miss if you think it's too simple. Sometimes we miss precious principles in the Word because we think we know it. And when you run over it. But I want to ask you to listen with an open heart. Before we start, I just want us to have a look. Some of you know these teachings. We've been there before. But I just want to touch on something again for the sake of those that are new. The tabernacle of Moses, and specifically the three courts and what it means. So can we have that? That's always a very nice picture, don't you think so? The glory of God shining specifically on the third court, the Holy of Holies. Can you see that? Let's move on. There's another picture of what happened in the wilderness around the tabernacle of Moses, where the tribes were stationed in specific positions around the tabernacle. And there's your outer court, and then inside the inner court and the Holy of Holies were covered. Let's have another one. Here's the gate into the outer court with the brazen altar, the laver, and then there's another gate into what is called the inner court or the second court. And in the second court, you have the table of showbread, the golden candlestick, and then the altar of incense. And then in the Holy of Holies, you have the ark. And there was a veil there that separated the second court from the third court. Now, we've really spent a lot of time in opening the significance, the symbolism, the types and shadows behind this whole tabernacle of Moses. In it, you'll find your own spiritual journey, your own spiritual growth. You'll find the journey of the local church. But this morning, I want to specifically focus on one thing. The outer court, the holy place, second court, and the Holy of Holies, which is the third court, and also teachings from this refer to the first day, the second day, and the third day. And what happened, if you read Hebrews chapter 9, the outer court is not even mentioned in Hebrews 9, because Jesus came and he became the sacrifice. And the outer court disappeared with the coming of Jesus, especially when he was on the cross saying, "It is finished." The outer court is gone. It's amazing and sad. I don't want to go there now. How many people still keep the outer court alive and with that sin consciousness in believers' minds? Jesus came and he was the fulfillment of the once for all sacrifice. What is left now in the time that we have seen, especially in the last few decades, how the church progressed and migrated through the various seasons. The one that I want to focus on today is, if you read Hebrews 9, the altar of incense is no longer in the holy place, but the altar of incense is found in the Holy of Holies. The altar of incense is a type of intercession and prayer. Intercession and prayer. Worship, intercession, prayer. And that takes you into the Holy of Holies. In those days of the tabernacle of Moses, nobody was allowed into the Holy of Holies except the high priest, only once a year. And even then, he had a rope fixed to him that if something goes wrong, if he does something wrong, he will drop dead. They would have to pull him out of the Holy of Holies because nobody could go in there and risk their life. keep that in mind. That's what I want to focus on this morning, is worship in the third court. So just listen to the word as we go through it. Thank you. Worship in the outer court, or outer court worship, as it is known, normally is singing about God. There's no personal relationship with Him. So worship in the outer court mainly meant singing about God. He was distant. He was not known by you in a personal way. The second court worship, worship in the second court, or on the second day, if you will, people used to sing a lot to God. They sing a lot to God. There's cries of love, songs of war and conquest. Some people went too far about singing about the devil, and we're going to trample on the devil and things like that. And again, taking it a bit too far. Yeah, there is joy in worship. You know that. This house will know that. There's always joy in praise and worship. Enter His courts with praise. Come with joyful singing and praise into His courts. That's Psalms 100. But there is a further level of worship, and that's what I want to briefly look at this morning. This is our focus for today. In the third court, the worship is changing. It's no longer about singing about God up there somewhere. It's no longer just singing to God. Yes, we, nothing wrong with singing to God. Joy praises will always be there, especially as we enter His courts. But in the third court, it is more about God singing through us. God singing through us. When you feel that deep, that resonance in worship, I have felt that at times in this house during worship. And I really want our worship team especially to listen as well this morning, because these things are important. We can go through a lot of charismatic rituals, and I'm not saying that's sinful or wrong, but what I'm saying is there's something more. There's something deeper. And this is the cry of my heart, and I think it's the cry of every sincere worshiper, is to break into a new dimension of worship. A new dimension of worship. I want to read a few scriptures to you just to help us to focus. In Romans 12, verse 1 in the Amplified, just listen, Romans 12, verse 1 in the Amplified, I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, and beg of you, in view of all the mercies of God, to make a decisive dedication of your bodies, presenting all your members and faculties as a living sacrifice, holy, devoted, consecrated, and well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable, your rational or intelligent service and spiritual worship. Why do you think he says, present your bodies a living sacrifice? Now, going a bit further than just the normal praise songs. And then in 1 Peter 2, verse 5, also in the Amplified, come and like living stones, be yourselves built into a spiritual house for a holy, dedicated, consecrated priesthood to offer up those spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable and pleasing to God through Jesus Christ. Are we getting a grasp of what I'm saying? The worship from the inner court, the Holy of Holies. The author of the book of Hebrews takes it a little bit further. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5, also in the Amplified, hence, when He, Christ, entered into the world, He said, sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, referring to the old covenant types of sacrifices, he said, that's not what God desired in the new. He says, but instead, you have made ready a body for me to offer. You have made ready a body for me to offer. Don't come with the old rituals of worship and praise. That's what he's saying here. Something has shifted. Verse 8 in Hebrews 10 says, in the Message Bible this time, when he said, you don't want sacrifices and offerings, he was referring to practices according to the old plan, the old covenant. That's what he meant. And Hebrews 10 verse 9, also in the Message, when he added, I'm here to do it your way, he set aside the first in order to enact the new plan. I pray this morning that wherever it is needed in each one of us to make a shift from the old way into a new way, let it be. Let it happen. Claim it for yourself. Claim it for yourself. I don't want to sound critical this morning, but there's a deep longing in my spirit for that new, intimate worship. Intimate worship. Something beyond what we have experienced corporately. This last song we were singing, such beautiful words. Something happens to me when I bow down and worship you. Something has to happen when we really enter into worship. And I trust that the Holy Spirit this morning will take this deep into your own heart and life. The only acceptable sacrifice to the Father is Christ. It's Christ. There's no other way that you can please the Father but through Christ. And so, now it is not so much a matter of doing, but of being. Get that? It's not so much what I do, but it's a matter of being. Let that sink in. It's what I am. It's a matter of being. Lord, must help us to get beyond the mental assent to good principles. Yes, amen, yes, yes, yes. But the question is, have you become that yet? That will bring a new sound to our worship. It will bring a whole new frequency of worship in the house of God. It has nothing to do with a specific style of music or worship. There are different styles. In fact, what will it sound like when we come to the place, each one of us, in that intimate sense of being? What will be the sound of worship? It will be like the sound of many waters. But there will be harmony. There won't be false notes. There will be a harmonious, multiple sounds of worship to the throne. I've been in meetings like that. I've been in meetings where the cloud of God settled on the congregation. I will never forget that as long as I lived. I sat on the platform and I thought something was wrong. While in the worship, I saw a cloud settling on the whole audience. And I said, I bumped on one of the older men next to me and I said, what's happening? He said, it's the presence of God. I was new to it then. At one stage, they were calling the fire brigade in the community. They thought the place that we were in was on fire. Now, I don't want to rush ahead of myself, but we can't repeat previous patterns without His presence. Just to grab the formula of past revivals and try and implement it in the present will not necessarily work. It has to be fresh and God-ordained. So, praise, you must hear me correctly, there's nothing wrong with joyful praise. It has its place. But joyful praise can come from your own spirit, and there's nothing wrong with it. But guess what? True worship is impossible without the help of the Holy Spirit inside of me. True worship must come from the Holy Spirit within me. I have a feeling God is going to surprise us, because many of us have come various journeys on this Christian journey through the Pentecostal, the charismatic seasons, and specifically referring to the Holy Spirit, manifestations of having been filled with the Holy Spirit. I've come through all of those years myself. And I remember how I was searching, how I was attending prayer meetings, how I was going to home meetings. In the conferences, the big Pentecostal conferences, you could find me in the prayer hall. I was still a student then. I was young. And I always felt like, there's more. There's more. There's more. I remember standing in front of a godly man, an apostle of God, in Honolulu, Hawaii. Took me 45 hours to get there. Standing in front of a team of elders. And they were busy ministering to us. Ministering. Powerful ministry. Powerful prophetic words. But I wanted something more. I wanted something else. I didn't come for prophetic words of what God is going to use me in. That was not the aim of my going there. And this man of God, he looked at me, he said, after that minister, is there something else you want? He could see on my face. There's something. I said, yes, I want the Holy Spirit. He looked at me. He said, but you have the Holy Spirit. And he said, you want more? I said, yes, I want more. And there's about 20 elders on the stage, and a ton of hands came on my head. I mean, like a ton of hands. And I mean, like, how can I describe it? One man who had open spiritual vision once, he said, when they laid hands on you, I saw fire coming out of your forehead, like a fierspieven de berg. What is it? A volcano. He saw fire coming out of my head. But I never felt that I had a typical Pentecostal experience. I felt it was something deeper, something far more significant. I couldn't describe it. And I feel we are there again. We are there. There are more of you feeling like this right now. You've had your experiences. You've had your baptisms in the Spirit and wonderful experiences. Thank God for all of that. But how many of you know, how many of you feel there's more? Can I see your hands? You feel there's more and you want it. You must come to God to get more. Keep that in mind. You must come to God to get more. True worship. You know what true worship is? Deep calling unto deep. Deep calling unto deep. It's not a soulish experience. A lot of the... Maybe I shouldn't go there. I want something deeper. God is spirit. And true worship means the Holy Spirit in us reaches to God who is spirit. Now I'm getting to the heart of this. And this is one of the most beautiful verses in the Message translation. Now we all know it in the New American Standard, the King James, in John chapter 4. John chapter 4, especially verse 24, is known to all of us. He who worships must worship in spirit and truth. Do we know that? True worship means in spirit and in truth. Now hear what the Message translation says, and then I'm going to ask them to play a song that I want you to listen very careful to. Very spontaneous, Holy Spirit-led song. Short, but I can't tell you what it did for me. But first, listen to this. John chapter 4, from verse 23. This has all come about with the woman that he came for water, and you know, and Jesus said, I have water that you can't get. You know the whole story. She wanted him to help her to get water out of the well. But this is what he said. The time is coming, and I'm saying in my heart, yes, let it come. The time is coming. Message translation, in fact, it has come. I grab that. I grab it from a future thing to a now thing. The time has come when what you're called will not matter, and where you go to worship will not matter. This woman was saying, yeah, you know, you have to go to that mountain, you've got to go this way, go to that. He said, whoa, stop. The time is here. What you're calling and where you want to go does not matter. It's not what you're called. It's not where you go to worship. Here we come. Here's the truth. Here's the heart for the word this morning. It's who you are and the way you live that count before God. It's who you are and the way you live that count before God. Your worship must engage your spirit in the pursuit of truth. Oh, I love this. Your worship must engage your spirit in the pursuit of truth. That's the kind of people the Father is out looking for. Those who are simply and honestly themselves before Him in their worship. I cannot be better said. I can't say it any better. The Father knows during worship, and by the way, worship is not supposed to just take place on a Sunday morning. Please, we know that. But as we come together corporately, you can have all sorts of outward things, but God looks into your heart. Are you yourself? Have you engaged your spirit in worship? I'm looking forward. I'm looking forward to a meeting in this house. And I'm just confirming a prophetic word over this house. There will be a meeting that will last 6 months in this place. There will be a meeting where the doors of this building will not be closed for 6 months. Because people will come and be touched by God in worship, in the Spirit, and in truth. And they will be transformed. God is sheer being itself, spirit. Those who worship Him must do it out of their very being, their spirits, their true selves in adoration. The woman said, I don't know about that. I do know that the Messiah is coming. When He arrives, we'll get the whole story. See, there's the old language. Speaking from the old covenant. Jesus responded, this is what He said, I am. I am. She's still talking about the Messiah that's coming and all the stuff. He said, I am. How are we going to grasp this? I am, said Jesus. You don't have to wait any longer or look any further. Do you know that this is also talking about the Feast of Tabernacles, busy unfolding into the final indwelling of God in His church. But before we go further, I want you to listen to this song that we're going to play now. Put the words on the screen. This is such a spontaneous song. I want you to close your eyes as you listen carefully. Just listen, let it grab you. Worship must become a personal encounter with God. We must go beyond the normal. We must have an encounter with God. Let my life be worship to you. How many of you could say amen to that? You feel that in your heart? Let my life be worship. What I say, what I do, let it be praise to you. How much irrelevant stuff will be removed from our lives if we can say that and be that? Some of our strongest concepts of worship are rooted in the past. For example, the Lutherans point to the days of Martin Luther, and there was an outbreak of fresh worship coming out of the Roman Catholic culture. And that was amazing worship. Then there was the apostolics that, and pointing to the Welsh revival, worship happened there, a different style of worship. There was the Methodists that remind us of the days of Wesley, and they had a different style of worship. Then there was the Lateran outpouring in 1948. The worship there became known as the Heavenly Choir. Unfortunately, our experiences cannot be transferred genetically from one generation to the next. Nor can it be transferred historically. You cannot transfer an experience like that. Every experience has to be uniquely individual, firsthand. God said to Abraham often, and to Isaac and to Jacob, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God gave a prophecy to Abraham that he will be the father of many nations. But when God spoke to Isaac, he didn't say, take what your father has and it's fine, and God out of the way. No, God preferred to maintain a direct relationship with Isaac as well. But he reminded him, I'm the God of your father, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He did the same with Jacob. First hand, not transferred genetically, not transferred historically, but first hand in every generation. May God give us a first hand, fresh experience of third court worship. If you say amen to this, then I will know we can go ahead. It takes a personal encounter with God to produce worship of the degree we're talking about, third court or third day worship. Too often, it is the doctrine that is transferred and not the experience. What I want you to hear, the Church of Christ worldwide is in search of a fresh new encounter. What we've seen in many places have been sort of handed down, and it is not a first-hand divine encounter. I pray that in this season, the households that are serious about God will have that encounter. I pray for this household. So much of today's gospel music, and I look at it, we look at it at times on TV. Dear Lord, there's no difference between that and the music in some kind of rock band, pub, or whatever. It lacks something. And I'm not saying it's wrong to sing about Jesus and dance. There may be times like that. But true worship, entering into the third court, is something deeper. The altar of incense had to move. Moved inside the third court as the high priest went in. And there was a whole new temple experience. And what it refers to actually is the restoration of the tabernacle of David, which God promised in his word. And in the tabernacle of David was a tent. It was a tent. It wasn't some elaborate chapel and building and whatever. It's a tent with the ark on the inside. True worshipers will worship God in spirit and in truth. When the high priest moved into the third court, and shared the Shekinah glory of God. He worshiped beyond human performance. No ritualistic arts needed. So it will be with us. I want to close by reading a few verses from Genesis chapter 22. This is a very powerful chapter. There's something about Abraham. Whenever God spoke to him and called his name, what was his first response? Here I am. Here I am. Are we that sensitive to the Spirit of God? When he calls your name, can you say, here I am? And then God tested Abraham. He tested Abraham to the uttermost. And in verse 1, he called Abraham and he said, here I am. And he said, take your son, your only son whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering. This is the son that God promised that he would have. Now God says, give it back to me. So Abraham rose early in the morning, verse 3, and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he split wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Verse 4, and on the third day, Abraham raised his eyes and saw the place from a distance, the place where God told him to go. And Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. Now hear this utterance of faith. Hear this utterance of a worshiper. Stay here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go yonder, and we will worship and return to you. Don't tell me a true worshiper can be an unbeliever. A true worshiper is also a true believer and will obey the demands of God, painful as it may be. We will worship. God told him to go and sacrifice. He said, we will worship and we will return. Don't think Abraham was acting here. He was not acting. Watch. And Abraham took the wood and the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So the two of them walked on together as a unit. The two of them walked together. And Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, my father! Again he said, here I am, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? That's a practical question. Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. So the two of them walked on together. They came to the place of which God had told him. Abraham built the altar and arranged the wood and bound his son Isaac. The Bible doesn't say anything here about Isaac trying to run away or battling or fighting, nothing. Abraham bound his son, put him on the altar on the wood, and Abraham stretched out his hand. Listen, this man was not acting. He took the knife in his hand, and if God had not stopped him, he would have cut the throat of his son. That's what I call obedience coming from a heart of worship. And he was about to kill his son. And there's a voice from heaven, God speaking, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. And he said, do not stretch out your hand against the lad and do nothing to him, for now I know. I want to hear those words one day. Now I know. Don't you? Don't you want to hear those words? Yes. Now I know. Now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abraham raised his eyes and looked, and beheld behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up. And verse 14, and Abraham called the name of that place, the Lord will provide. Yahweh Jireh, the Lord will provide. Put these all together this morning. On the third day, God may require a sacrifice, but continue to be a worshiper, as we have just heard that beautiful song. May my life be worship unto you. May my life be worship unto you. All I say and all I am, may my life be praise to you. I want us to sing together a song now as we close. And I want you to stand, please, stand with me.